This morning, we want to look at an interesting subject. You know, we always, maybe not always, but a lot of times we focus on God's plan of salvation. That's a very important part of our Christianity. But today we want to look at the other side of that coin, and that is Satan's plan of damnation. You know, every time God makes a plan, Satan makes a counterplan. He makes an alternative plan. And so we want to look at the other side, the other part of this plan for our eternity. God's plan, of course, includes us living the abundant life here on this earth, and then getting to spend eternal life with Him. Sounds pretty good. Satan's plan, on the other hand, brings us pain and suffering in this life with some pleasures, and then eternal suffering. Now, if we just took a vote and said, well, how many want God's plan and how many want Satan's plan? Well, you know, everybody would say, well, God's plan way better. We get to have good things. But often, we don't live that out that way. Many times, we choose to follow Satan's plan. Satan makes it easy. He's got a one-step, any-step, pick-your-steps plan. You know, it's like the cafeteria. If you don't like that, don't do that. And if you like this, have double helping of it. You just go through and get whatever you want, like an all-you-can-eat buffet, you would. But God's plan, of course, is different. God's plan demands that we follow each and every step of His plan. The amazing thing about it, we're going to look at 10 steps in Satan's plan of damnation. And the thing about it is, Satan doesn't care if you only follow one step, he's happy. You don't have to follow all the steps. He doesn't care. If you just follow one step, he's got you. The scripture that was read to us from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, tells us how we should warn others. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." You realize that when we are following Satan's plan, we're actually opposing ourselves. And anyone who's following Satan's plan is opposing themselves. They're doing the very thing that's contrary to what's best for them. We do that sometimes when we go to the doctor, and the doctor says, here's your problem, and here's what you need to do to take care of it. But instead of doing what the doctor says, we oppose ourselves. We do the very thing that causes us the problem. And we've got to be sure that when it comes to our relationship with God, that we're not following Satan's plan, or we'll be doing the very thing that will destroy us. He goes on to say then, that they oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. You know, many are caught in the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, it's Satan's will to take everyone captive. And once he's caught us in that snare, he'll want to hang on to us. He'll want to keep us snagged and in chains and in bondage to Him. But if we can in meekness instruct others, then maybe they will be able to come to repentance. And maybe they'll come to acknowledge the truth and recover themselves out of that snare. It's the same thing that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. We need to be helping others to do that. Well, let's look at these steps then. One step in Satan's plan of damnation is, don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. And this comes in many areas. But anytime something good is being said or being taught, Satan doesn't want you to listen to that. Someone's trying to correct you, Satan doesn't want you to listen to that. So his theory is, you know it all, you know everything you need to know, don't listen to anybody else. You just keep going your own way. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to the gospel. Don't listen to the preaching. Don't listen to the teaching. Don't listen to rebuke and correction. Just don't listen to it. In Acts chapter 7 and verses 54 through 58, we see Satan's plan at work with the people here. This is Stephen preaching before the council. And he had told them all, I mean, he did a brief history of all of Israelites' history. And then he got to the point where he was telling them about Jesus, about the Savior. And it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. This is our first introduction to who would become the Apostle Paul as well here. But notice what happened. When they didn't like what they were hearing, they didn't want to hear it, so they just plugged up their ears. Just stopped up their ears. Did you ever do that when you were a kid? Your brothers and sisters, you know, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. But sometimes we do that with God. God's trying to get the message to us to tell us about His plan of salvation, but instead of listening, we follow Satan's plan of damnation instead, and we plug up our ears. And we say, I'm not listening, I don't want to listen to that. And it's hard sometimes to listen to some of the things that we have to listen to if we want to follow God's plan. Because we have to listen when we're told that we're in sin. We have to listen when it becomes clear to us that we're lost and that we need to do something different than what we're doing, that we have to change, that we have to repent. That's not a pleasant thing to have to listen to. But it's an important thing for us to listen to. We need to listen to it. But Satan's plan of damnation says don't listen to it. But if you listen to it, the next step in Satan's plan of damnation is don't believe it. You can listen to it, you can listen, but just don't believe it. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 15, as Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower, he says, and these are they that are by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. He takes it away before it can get a grip, before it can really get in there and they really believe it and start to do something about it. One of the things that Satan does in this world is to constantly try to convince people that Christianity is meaningless, and that Don was reading a news article last night where they found some stone tablet that told a story about a Messiah that was going to die and be resurrected. And they said, see, here's proof that Christianity is just based on this old story and it's not real, and it's just like that myth that this group of people had. And that's one of Satan's plans. He said, you know, oh, don't believe it. It's just a myth. There's no difference in Christianity and in the Greek myths or the Roman myths or the Egyptian myths or any of the other myths that people have. That's all it is. It's not real. Don't believe it. See, that's Satan's plan of damnation, because he knows that what people believe determines how they live. That's where we have to understand that there are a lot of people who say with their mouth, "I believe in Jesus," but that's all they're doing is saying it with their mouth. They don't really believe. Because Satan knows if you really believe, it's going to change the way you act. So he wants us to not believe. He doesn't care if we say we believe. He doesn't even care if we believe there's a God. Just, you know, if you believe there's a God, fine, but just believe that he's an impersonal force out there that doesn't affect your life. It's okay if you believe in Jesus, but just believe that he was just some man that lived 2,000 years ago. And it's okay if you believe he died, but just don't believe he was resurrected. And on and on. Satan says, you know, just don't believe the thing that's going to make a difference in your life. Don't believe that part. He doesn't care about all the rest. You can believe all these other things, just not the crucial facts. So he says, don't believe it. But then the next step in Satan's plan of damnation is, don't change because of it. Well, it's okay if you believe the facts of that Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, and even that you believe that the Bible was written by those people who were his followers. But, you know, you don't need to change because of any of that. That doesn't matter. Or, even better yet, well, since Jesus loved everybody so much and God loved everybody so much, then he'll love you even if you don't change. You can keep on living the way you want to live and it'll be okay. So don't change because of it. Don't change because of the things that are in the Bible or because of the gospel that's been taught to you. The gospel will tell you, oh, you know, that God loves you so much that he'll save you even if you don't change. See, that's Satan's version of the gospel. Oh, God's too loving and too merciful to really send anybody to hell. Don't you worry about that. You don't need to change anything. You just keep right on living the way you're living. And Satan has convinced a multitude of people of that. Don't change because of it. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3 tells of Ananias and Sapphira. Apparently they were greedy folks before they became Christians. They kept being greedy afterwards. They didn't change because of the gospel. And Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" We see the same thing with Simon the sorcerer, even though after he was converted, but he wanted to go right back to his old ways. He didn't want to change. He wanted to go right back to trying to get this power so I can have this power. He was obsessed with power. See, Ananias and Sapphira were obsessed with their position and popularity. They thought, boy, if we give this money, everybody will think we're really great. But at the same time, they also wanted to be greedy and keep it. So they were torn between wanting to be popular and wanting to be rich. And so they tried to split the difference and be both. And it wound up getting them dead. But old Simon, well, he had been the chief around there. He had gotten, everybody was following him, thought he was something great. And he thought, boy, if I could get that power, I could really be something great. We often turn back to the same temptations, the same sins that we were involved in before we became Christians. If we didn't like those sins, we wouldn't have been involved in them in the first place. Satan knows how to get to us. He knows how to get us back to those things. So we've got to watch out. We've got to be sure that when we believe it, we're changed by it. That we allow the gospel to work in our lives. Paul says that the gospel is God's power to salvation. Power. The power to save us. But it's got to change us. It's got to affect us. But Satan says, don't change because of it. And again, the wonderful thing about Satan's plan is, just pick one. One's all it takes. Then Satan says, the next step in his plan is, don't admit it. Even if you know it's right, don't admit it. Just don't accept it. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12 says, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, Satan says, hey, don't fall for that. Don't go for that. Don't admit that's right. If somebody tries to tell you something that's right, you just yell louder and say the lie even more. Keep yourself convinced of that lie. Hold on to it. That's what Satan wants us to do. He doesn't want us to love the truth to the point that we'll admit that it is the truth. He doesn't want us to admit that we're wrong. Doesn't want us to confess our sins. Doesn't want us to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Doesn't want us to confess any of those things. Doesn't want us to admit anything. Doesn't want to admit that the church, there's only one church that Jesus built. Doesn't want to admit any of that. Don't admit that. You keep spouting that lie that one church is as good as another. Is one church as good as another? Is a church that worships Satan as good as a church that worships God? Is a church that worships an idol as good as a church that worships Jesus? You see, people don't really believe that one church is as good as another. They believe there's a difference in some churches. They just keep spouting the lie, though. They won't admit it. They won't admit that, yes, there can be a church that's better than another church because it teaches what the Bible teaches, because it practices what the Bible says practice. Don't admit it, Satan says. Don't admit that one religion is better than another. Multiculturalism has taken over our society. And it's just bad to say that Christianity is better than Islam. It's wrong to say that Christianity is better than Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism or any of the other isms that are out there. We can't say that. Why not? Oh, because we're following Satan's plan of damnation. Because God's plan of salvation makes it very clear. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say, well, you can come by me, or you can follow Buddha, or you can be a Hindu, or you can follow Muhammad when he comes in a few hundred years. No, Jesus said, it's me or nothing. And yet, it's absolutely amazing. More than half of people in their various religions, they did a survey, more than half of the people in Islam don't believe that Islam is the only way to God, or as they call him, Allah. More than half of the Jews don't believe that Judaism is the only way to God. More than half of those who claim to be Christian don't believe that Christianity is the only way. They believe that salvation can be found in other religions. They're following Satan's plan. Satan says, don't admit it. We know better. If we really sit down, and those people believe, they just won't admit it. They know it's right. They just won't admit it. Then Satan says, don't obey it. You know, the most frustrating thing to me in any time I've ever studied with someone is when I studied with someone, and I studied with them for a couple of years. Every week we'd go and we'd have a study. And every time we studied, whatever we studied out of the Scriptures, this person always agreed. Always admit, yeah, that's right. But never would obey it. Just wouldn't do it. And that was the most... I'd rather have somebody that just argue with me and tell me you're wrong and you're a liar and you're trying to trick me than to have somebody tell me, yeah, that's right, that's what it says, and you're right. But then not do it. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I command you? But that's the way Satan wants us to be. Oh, he didn't listen to it. Believe it. Admit it. But don't obey it. Don't obey the gospel. Luke 8, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no root, which after a while believe, but in time of temptation they fall away. They which sow among thorns are they which have heard and go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. So he said, here they are, they heard and they believed, but they just didn't bring any fruit. Nothing happened as a result of it. Then the next step in Satan's plan is, don't take it seriously. Even if you obey it, don't take it so seriously. Don't really make a commitment to it. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 15. Here we are, first century. Hadn't been long. So these people were just being converted to Christ. And Paul says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Just that quick. And he says to the Galatians, that I'm amazed at you. I'm astonished that you are so quickly removed from the gospel. Just that quickly. They just didn't take it seriously. And then the seventh thing that we need to see in Satan's plan is, don't stick to it. It goes along with not taking it seriously. Some people get involved with it and they think they come to church for a fashion show. They want to see who's wearing what and those kinds of things. But instead, we need to take it seriously. But then some don't stick to it. They follow along for a good long while, but then they quit for some reason or another. Luke 22, verses 3 through 4. Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. Here was someone who had been with Jesus for 3 years. See, he wasn't like the folks who believed and sprang up and then died right away. Just left off right away. He'd been there for 3 years. He'd heard all the teaching. He had been one of Jesus' closest disciples, one of the 12. But here he is. Just couldn't stick to it. Just had to figure out a way to turn against it. Satan wants us to do that. Don't stick to it. Try it for a while. It's a fad. It'll be popular. You know, go do it. Have fun with it for a little while. But you'll get tired of it and come back to me then. And that's what Satan wants. He doesn't care if we become Christians for a while, as long as we don't stick to it. As long as we're not committed to it for a lifetime. And then Satan says, don't think about it. Now, there are a lot of things he doesn't want us to think about. He doesn't want us to think about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He doesn't want us to think about the consequences of our sin. He doesn't want us to think about the existence of hell. In fact, one of the most popular things in the religious world is to believe that there's a heaven, but that there's no hell. Wow, what a comforting belief. Everybody can go to heaven. There's no hell. That's wonderful. It's not real, but it's a wonderful thought. Everybody likes that idea. It's not realistic. Don't think about your sin and the consequences of it. Mark 14 and verse 72. The second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him. See, Satan doesn't want us to call to mind the things that Jesus has taught. Before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me three times. And when he thought thereon, he wept. You see, thinking about Christ's teaching is going to affect us. So Satan didn't want us to think about it. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11, Paul says, for godly sorrow works repentance. That's what Peter was experiencing there. Godly sorrow. Godly sorrow involves thinking about the sin that we've committed. Then, the ninth step in Satan's plan is don't tell anyone about it. Even if you're going to follow it, even if you're going to believe it, you're going to let it change you, don't tell anybody else about it. Don't let anybody else know how it's changed you. Keep it a secret. Be in Christ's secret service so nobody else knows you're working for Him. That's what Satan wants. But Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the way God wants us to be. But Satan says, no, keep that candle hidden under the bushel basket. Don't let anybody else know. Don't let anybody else see. And he tries to hinder it any way that he can. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. So at least two times Paul wanted to come to Thessalonica to see the people there. He says, but Satan hindered us. Satan will always hinder you in any way that he can to try to keep you from sharing the gospel with others and sharing Christianity. But sometimes he doesn't have to hinder us because we do the job for him. We just don't tell anybody about it. Just keep it a secret. The best kept secret in the world is the effect that the gospel can have. The people just don't want to share it like they should. And then the tenth thing that he says is, don't support it. Don't support it. Don't live it. Don't practice it. Don't support it financially. Don't support it with your lifestyle. Don't support the church. Don't support the spread of the gospel. Take advantage of it. Be a leech. Suck the blood out of the church. Suck the power out of the gospel. Don't support it. Matthew 25, 41 and following, Jesus says to those on his left hand, depart from me, for I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. Naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. These folks weren't living it. They said, well, when, Lord, when did we see you this way? When did this happen, Lord? See, they're calling him Lord, but they weren't living it. They weren't supporting it. They weren't helping it. There are many ways that we may fall into Satan's snares. He wants to get us all. And he can get us with any one of these 10 steps of his plan. You see, even if we obey the gospel, we believe it, we allow it to change our lifestyle, but we won't share it with others, he's still got us in a snare. Or if we're telling others and we believe it And but we are telling everybody, but then our lifestyle is not supporting it. We're hypocrites. He's still getting us. You see, Satan can use any one of these steps to get us. That's the wonderful simplicity of his plan. That's why he's getting so many. Because he knows that only one step, just one step, is all that it takes. See, God believes in one step at a time. He knows we can only take one step at a time, but we have to keep taking that next step. But Satan knows that he can get us by just getting us to follow any one of his steps. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you have been following Satan's plan instead of following God's plan. You need to change that this morning. That's the good news, is that as long as you're still alive, you have that chance to change which plan you're following. Now, I know with Medicare, they have the drug coverage plans and things, and you get every once in a while, you get a chance to change plans if you didn't like the one you were on. You can change your plan. Well, the wonderful thing about God's plan is it has open enrollment. You don't have to wait for a set time of the year to start on His plan. You can start His plan today. You can start it right now. If you'll just change the things you've been following of Satan's plan and start following God's plan. Listen to the gospel. Believe it. Confess Jesus. Repent of your sins. Obey it. Be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. Rise to walk a new life where you're obedient to Him, faithful to Him for the rest of your life. Tell others about it. Support the spread of the gospel from here on out. If you're here and you didn't initially obey the gospel, you may need to do that today. If you're here and as a Christian, you haven't been following all of the steps of God's plan, you've allowed Satan to get you tricked into following one of his steps. Remember, that one step is all it takes. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask you to do so as we stand and as we sing.